Lesson one. We start with the history of the Greek language real quick. And it's from the beginning to Alexander the Great. Then we will move on to the actual practical Greek language to really learn the alphabet and everything. So let's go. First of all, of course, I'm telling you, this recorded audio is not going to take place of reading the PDF which I attach to the lesson. Of course, if you don't have, I'm doing this because if you don't have time, okay, it'll be enough. But please, if you can, just dedicate. It's only like 15 minutes of your time. Do it. Because reading is not like listening. But doing both is great. So, the history of the Greek language is pretty complicated, but it's also interesting. The earliest stage of the Greek language is Proto-Greek, and it dates back like 2000 BC. Okay, so the roots of the Greek language are very old. As old as the Hebrew language as well. Then we have ancient Greek. There's a gap, honestly, between the Proto-Greek and the ancient Greek. But that's the problem for the historians and the philologists, not ours. Ancient Greek starts at around 750 BC. So you see, we jumped like 1,000 years later. And this is now, this is really what we need to know more. The Greeks now develop a written alphabet. What is the great difference, the great news about, and this is when the Odyssey was written, okay? What is the great news about the Greek alphabet? That it had vowels. The ancient Middle East alphabets, including Hebrew, do not have vowels. Even to this day, we don't need to go deep into that. They have ways of describing vowels in the speech, but there are no actual vowels in the Hebrew language and the other Semitic languages, except Maltese. Maltese is an exception to the rule. It has an alphabet which has vowels as well. Then we have Koine Greek, and we are in the 4th century BC. Koine means common, shared. This was the language spoken throughout the Mediterranean. This is why it was spoken also in the Holy Land, in Israel. In Jerusalem, we have found inscriptions, and it was a language used everywhere in the world, and we will see now how. Then we have the Hellenistic Greek. This is a kind of language which has a greater degree of flexibility and fluidity than the more rigid forms of ancient and Koine Greek, okay? The old Greek of philosophers, the Greek of Athens, had very strict rules, but somehow when Greek was used by the non-Greek speaking people, like the Egyptians, they begin to use Greek. The same applies in the Holy Land when the Jews begin to speak Greek. That's what happens also with English. You know that. American English is derived from British English, and it's different. It's a lot more, like we said, fluid. And the same applies with this, with the Greek spoken in the various lands where it spread after the death of Alexander the Great. Now we will go see that. Then we have Biblical Greek. I already spoke about that. It's a kind of a dialect, of Greek dialect that was influenced by the Hebrew language and the Christian religion. We will see to what extent. It's incredible what the fluidity of the Greek language at this stage could do, really. Alexander the Great and Hellenism. Alexander the Great lived during the 4th century BC. He was born in Macedonia, but he had a dream. When he was 20, he took his father's place because he passed away and he became king of Macedonia. He was able to do something that nobody did before him. He united all the Greek cities that they were not united. They were one even against the other in wars and stuff. But he managed to unite the Greek people against the Persian enemy. Persia, at the time, the Persians were ruling the whole world. Then Alexander the Great, he was only a kid. I mean, he was 20. But in 10 years, he conquered the whole world. He conquered the whole world. He died in 323 BC at the age of 33. And in 10 years, he had conquered all the known land. Everything. He had conquered all of the Persian territories, which covered almost all the world. I will show you in a map, so you can have a look at the map when you look at the... You also must interact, the audio must interact with the pictures you see on the web page where you find it. Okay. So Alexander the Great created the Hellenistic. He started the Hellenistic period, the Hellenistic powers, which were Egypt, Syria, of course, Greece, and then there was the eastern province of Babylon and stuff. All right, so since he died with no, he had children, but his children could not take over. So his four generals divided the whole world, and because basically he had conquered the whole world. And what they did was a change. They did not only take the power where they went, they also somehow they forced their culture on the people. And it's a bit like what the British did with the British Empire. And this is the reason why today English is so widely spoken, because the British would go and impose their language to all the people. Basically, they would never learn the language of the people they conquered. And the same applied to the Greeks. So that's what the word barbarian means. Barbar means like a people that is bubbling. They don't know the language, because to them, the language was just the Greek language. And so Hellenism spread throughout the Mediterranean, the Hellenic culture, in the Greek language. So by the time that Jesus was born, they spoke Greek throughout the Mediterranean. I hope this was clear. If it's not, listen to this more than one time. At the same time, you can just read the PDF file. If you have the time, do it, print it. And if you want, of course, I will say this at the beginning, you can purchase the book, which will be very good, a good companion to these lessons and studies. God bless you. Now we go deep, still at the first, we are still in the first lesson, Greek grammar highlights. Let's start that.